Well, good morning, y'all. No, we're having church today. Good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
Good, faked you out because I grew up in Wisconsin, but that's all right. It is so great to be here with you today. As Pastor said, many of you might not realize that Urban Impact started in 1989 by a gentleman named Glenn Shriver. So I've been involved with it, didn't start it, was involved later, and didn't actually take over leading it till the end of 2003. But it started with a meeting of gentlemen and ladies here at Trinity as Glenn had a vision to start an inner city ministry in New Orleans. And so Trinity has had an important part and played an important part in the foundational beginnings of Urban Impact. And as I look out, I see many folk I know, folk that have been a part of the board, folk that have been a part of helping and have been a part of that. And so it is just great to be here to reconnect. You know, the strange thing is, you know, only live 45 minutes away, but it takes 5 years to get back up and see you. That doesn't make sense. Amen. But I think sometimes that explains missions, because sometimes we feel missions means you have to have a visa, you have to have a little pith helmet, you got to travel someplace, not knowing that a missionary isn't that out-of-date picture you have on your fridge. It isn't that newsletter you get. A missionary is who you see every day when you look in the mirror. Can I get an amen? That's who a missionary is. And so I want to thank you for that. I thank you even as I look here at, I know some of you, the Church of the Stained Carpet. And I know that wasn't all good and wasn't all bad. Can I get an amen? All right. It's cool. But I want to thank you, because I was just thinking here this weekend as I looked, I've got a picture, actually not a picture, I've got a framed edition of the Times-Picayune from the day before Hurricane Katrina hit. The crazy thing is that was found on my porch in Broadmoor, okay? It was found by a missionary, by a pastor called Manny Roca from suburban Chicago. And that team came, and we were one of the first folks. And I remember we got in because Melanie Cook, because she's got some famous people in her family. We got a pass from Senator Landrieu, and unfortunately it was two computers ago, because all we did is take that pass and kept copying and adding new names to it. That was a good thing. But I think of that. I think of countless others. And I just want to thank you. Because I know it wasn't always easy. And I know the transition wasn't easy. Can I get an amen? But you know what? God used you. And I think as I even reflect back on looking at 10 years. And we get ready to have a service next week. And what's it look like? And because for some folks, it's still very raw. I even talked about having a remembrance service, and a lady just broke down crying because, you know, she lived through that, was at the convention center. Her grandma died in the bus when they were in North Louisiana. You know, I encourage you, we need to keep praying, amen, and understanding that there's still work to be done. But I want to thank you for your partnership. Thank you for putting up with us not being here and not communicating well. But we're excited about what you're doing. I'm excited about Pastor Lance. Can I get an amen? Amen. And what's going on? I think God's got the right man here. And exciting for what's going on. And you know, it's a small world. I hear stuff, Pastor. It even gets across the lake. I hear stuff. And good stuff. Excited what God's doing here and what God's for that. But Urban Impact, very quickly, we're an inner city ministry in Central City, New Orleans, right in the shadow of the Superdome, right next to the Calio Housing Project, because we've moved since many of you have seen it. And our vision is to create a neighborhood where kids can ride their bikes. A neighborhood where kids can ride their bikes to schools of excellence. Because you know what? The struggle with education in the inner city of America, it ain't a Republican issue. It's not a Democratic issue. It's a church issue. Thank you, somebody. All right? Amen. It's not. It's a discipleship issue. If a kid can't read, how's he going to grow in the Lord? It's a discipleship issue. It is an empowerment issue. So after the storm, we started our own high school because we had kids that weren't going to school. And as schools got better, we got rid of that. But this is how good God is. We had a school with one full-time employee, a half-time employee. Everybody else was volunteers, and we were a state-certified school. That's amazing, amen? Not because we're that good, because God is that great. And then now, and now we partner with Kipp Central City. Those kids, we go to that school and say, we want your hardest kids. We want the kids that are struggling. Why? Because we want to introduce them to all that God has them to be. Amen. And to see that God didn't make junk. You don't have to buy into this. This is who God is. We want kids to ride their bikes to a safe place to gather. The thing that excites me is that safe place to gather is run by Tyrone Christoph, who I met as a chubby cheek fifth grader in the Melpomene Project. Amen. And T's running every bit of it. Running all of it. We bought the old St. Monica Catholic School and Church. We've been in that since 2012. We're excited about that. We got two places left to finish a recording studio. Cause you know what? Aaron Neville went to that school. He needs to build a recording studio. Can I get an amen? I just gotta find him to tell him that, all right? But kids need that safe place to gather. This summer we had 1 week we averaged 140 kids a day at day camp. Free lunch. 140 kids that get introduced to the gospel. 140 kids that get loved on. Families that didn't get that chance, grandmas especially, but others, parents and aunts and uncles and mamas get a chance to have a little break from all that. Amen. And so it's beautiful what happened and all that went on with that. And the youth ministry that we do in Open Court. And we got to finish up the old sanctuary. That will become a dedicated youth center in an urban church. What does that mean? Well, we're going to contextualize the gospel to reach those 14 to 24-year-olds especially that are walking around in our neighborhood that don't understand that God loves them and has got a plan and a purpose for them. And this 55-year-old fat German ain't running that church. Can I get an amen? We're gonna empower those kids and those folks in our neighborhood to run and to do that. We want kids to ride their bikes to a church that cares. Not that Castle Rock Community Church is the only church that cares. We're not. Stronger Hope, Living Witness Church of God in Christ, amongst others in our neighborhood. Pretty unique for New Orleans, very unique for our neighborhood. 2/3 African American, 1/3 white. We got a couple PhDs, a bunch of people working on their GED, and we're all trying to figure out how to follow the G-O-D. Amen. And how that goes across racial and class lines. And it's messy some days. Church is messy. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's messy. But we believe that that's what God desires. Ephesians 2, don't have time to preach that one today. But then we want kids to ride their bikes to a house their family owns. We dabble in that. But we believe that if we get people that move into our neighborhood that love Jesus, that see this as their missions field. Because you know what? In our neighborhood, even today, 80% of the houses in Hoffman Triangle are torn down or vacant still today. 80%. 250 vacant lots. Now, if that's something that you go, oh, I'd like to come see that next Saturday, by the way, is the day of service in New Orleans. And we're one of the sites that is hosting people to come. And what we're going to do with that day of service is we're going to clean up the park. We're going to clean up lots. We're going to clean up our neighborhood. Those that are old school, remember when we used to do that, we had the hot dog truck. Remember that? So we'd throw a grill on the back of it. Actually burnt through, actually almost lost a truck one time, all right? You buy those cheap hot dogs at Sam's, or never mind, all right? So. But if that's something you're interested in, we got a booth that back in the back. You can come and see. There's some ways that you can sign up. We'd love to see you. Come down and see what's going on in the city. We're not the only ones. And our dirty little secret, y'all, is this. We've been there since 1989. We've been there. And I think in ministry and all that we do, that's one of the keys, is being there. Consistently loving and caring and dealing with it and sometimes doing a great job and sometimes not. So I want to thank you for that, and stop and see us there. We got a couple trinkets to give you, but also just would love to thank you for your partnership. But that's us. What more important is God's word? Isaiah chapter 58, if you could open there, please. Isaiah chapter 58. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor? Oh, Lord. I got to help you all too. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor? Does your Sunday? Well, we'll work at it again. Does your Sunday change your Monday? Does your time with God, does your time being with God and loving God and interacting with Him and letting Him change your heart, does your Sunday change your Monday? Because if it doesn't, our Sunday is useless. Does your Sunday change your Monday? And in Isaiah 58, there's stuff going on that God's saying, your Sunday's not changing your Monday. Your time with me is not changing stuff. But let's take a step back. We got to understand this. We're all made in God's image. Can I get an amen? Imago Dei. Made in God's image. I don't care if you're black, white, rich, poor, educated, undereducated, Democrat, Republican, straight, gay, documented or undocumented, you are made in God's image. Well, I need a bigger amen than that. Amen? We're made in God's image. Not only that, it says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we're God's poinea, God's work of art. And that's a great thing because you know what? As I look at this audience, there ain't nobody like Carol Flo in the history of the world. Can I get an amen? I'm glad you're sitting right here, brother. I had to ask to make sure you were here because I was thinking about this. All on that, but there's nobody like Carol Flo in the history of the world. Amen? Nobody. Why? Because that's who God made him. His personality. The uniqueness of that man. Amen? That personality. The good and bad that's happened, the experiences that have happened in your life, brother. Not only that, you are God's pointing, you're God's workmanship. That means God grabbed a guitar up in heaven when you were born and he wrote you a love song. I love Carol Flo. He's so neat. He still hasn't taken me fishing in 20 some years, but I'll get it, all right? And so not only that, you add the spiritual gifts that God has given you. The cool thing about that scripture is this. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where God's pointing at God's workmanship, created to do good works. Created to do good what? Help me now. Good what? You're created to do great things. Do you believe that today? Everyone is made in God's image. And not only that, you're created to do great works that God prepared beforehand for you to do. So that means before Katrina happened, he knew this carpet was going to get stained. Because he created it before the foundations of the world. So that means God not only makes us in his image, and then when we accept him, we become that new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We become that piece of art. Not piece of work, that piece of art that God has made us to be, created us to do great things. We have been saved not merely to avoid evil, but to do good things. And in Isaiah 58, it just asks that question. Does your Sunday, does your time with God, your quiet time, your Bible study, your small group, your prayer time, does it change your Monday? Does your relationship with God produce God-exalting justice and practical mercy? If so, you'll break forth like the dawn. If not, you're in trouble. And here it is, Isaiah 58. Shout aloud, don't hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. That's a good thing. They're praying every day. They're seeking God. They're having their quiet time. They seem eager to know my ways. God, what is it? They're eager to know it. As if they're a nation that does what is right. They ask me for just decisions. They're praying. They seem eager for God to come near them. They're doing the right things. But their life is not producing what it's supposed to produce. And they say, why have we fasted? They say, and you have not seen it. Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? And then God says this, yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and he exploits all your workers. Prayer and small group and church attendance. All that stuff was just a religious cover for finding pleasure in doing what they wanted to do. It was just a religious cover for making unjust gains because it says they exploited all their workers. I see your business practices. I see your attitudes towards your neighbor. And God says, your Sunday's not changing your, help me, not changing your Monday. Their Sunday, then it says, your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You ever notice as a church, we argue about some stupid stuff. What color is the carpet? We argue about stupid stuff. And then we start getting in our little tribes, right? And we get in these little tribes and all at once, you know what? We're missional. We're simple church. We're gospel centered. We're a mega church. And so all of us, we get in our little tribes and we start quarreling with one another. Amen? Quarreling with one another. And we fight amongst ourselves. We argue about how to make disciples instead of making disciples. We argue about how to do evangelism instead of doing what? Evangelism. And later on in the chapter it says we get out the malicious talk and pointing finger. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble, to afflict himself, as it is in the Hebrew? And so God's saying, this is the indictment. Your Sunday's not changing your Monday. Remember the old phrase? It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Good Friday and Christ's death and how horrible it was, but then it's always Sunday, right? But I think as a church, we got to start using the phrase, it's Sunday, but Monday's coming. And this is the indictment. And so God's saying, if your Sunday doesn't change your Monday, you're not living out your calling and what God's called you to do. So then God says this. So that's the indictment. And here's the calling. This is what God calls us to do. Is this not the kind of fasting? Let me do what they told me not to do in seminary, right? Is this the kind of church? Is this the kind of person, believer, follower, this person made in God's image, this person is God's pointee, his workmanship, because through faith they've been made a new creation? Is this the kind of person, the kind of fasting I've chosen? And then he says this, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke and to set oppressed free. Now I read that, y'all, and I've been about this for 20 some years, and even I read that and go, God, that's a lot of work. Amen? I go, how in the world do you do that? 52% of the men in New Orleans, African American men, 52% are unemployed. It's a fact. If we're going to loose the chains of injustice to set the oppressed free, the church has got to deal with that. The problem is we get out a quarreling finger, we start pointing fingers at one another, and all at once, you get one group that says it's a systemic issue, right? The system is messed up. You got to change the system. You get one group that says, no, it's a personal responsibility issue. But if you look at Scripture, and I don't have time today, God says it's both. It's both. So let me give you an example. If a man is convicted of a felony, when you go to fill out the application, you got to check that box. Now, that could have been a felony from 20, 30 years ago. That could have been too much pot in his pocket. Again, I'm not condoning that. Don't go home and say, Because I'm tired of watching guys chill, okay? But when he checks that box, and he's been living right for 20 years, as soon as somebody sees that in the application and sees that box checked, that's getting tossed. Now, I'm not saying you don't have to do a background check. I'm not saying you don't take care of business. Everybody hear me out. Amen? But I don't think that should be the first filter. At the same time, I don't want somebody driving a cab that's stoned. Amen? So then Pookie's got to pee in a cup. That's how we as a church need to look at these issues and see the depth of it. But you know what? I'm stupid. Anybody else stupid in here? I'm stupid and I need some help. Then God helps me because God says, I'm going to give you this big 30,000 foot thing, but now I'm going to help you. To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke. And he says this, is it not to share your food with the hungry? Whoa. Literally, share your food, to serve people food is what it means in the Hebrew. So then I think God asks, if your Sunday changes your Monday, God asks you, what do you do with the food in your pantry? Is your house like ours? At least for me. You come home, you look in the fridge. There's a lot of different things you could cook, right? But after a while, you just look at it and you get overwhelmed and you call Domino's. Anybody else? Amen? Because it's not a lack of options, it's a lack of focus. God's saying, what do you do with the food in your pantry? But then God even makes it simpler. He says this, and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter. The stranger, the alien, the race, some of it a different race is what this is talking about. To provide the poor wanderer with shelter. What do you do with your spare bedroom? Four kids, two of them are gone, one's going to La Tech. I know they're going to boomerang back someday. Can I get an amen, parents? All right. But it's a big discussion for us. What do we do with our house? What do we do with our spare bedroom? Last year we took in three teenagers for 3 months. So we had five folks in our house that were teenagers. Oh, Lord, it was a long 3 months. And I can't tell you that doing that, everything is great. Mom was in treatment. It didn't all work out like we drew it up. And it was hard. But I think God asks, what do you do with your spare bedroom? You've been blessed. What do you do with that? Then God says this, and when you see the naked, to clothe him. What do you do with the clothes in your closet? Do you have a closet like mine? I got a small section here that I can fit in, and I got this big section that someday I'm getting back in this. Come on. Don't get Sunday school on me out here. Probably time for Goodwill. Can I get an amen? What do you do with the clothes in your closet? If your Sunday changes your Monday, it is done in practical acts of mercy to those all around you. It doesn't mean you got to drive across the bridge, even though we invite you. I think you need to get there someday. Amen, all right? No more commercials. But what do? You know, everybody's got that neighbor. You know that neighbor that drives you nuts? Anybody else? You got that guy at work that drives you nuts, that knows everything about everything, wants to make sure that you know that he knows everything about everything. And when you see him, when he's getting a cold drink, you don't even want to go near the refrigerator. Can I get an amen? God places him there so that you can show them who he is. Not only that, then he says, and not turn away from your own flesh and blood. You have people in your family that drive you nuts. People in your family you've been trying to help forever. And God says, don't turn them away. But the interesting thing about this text, it's not just your family. It deals with people of a different race and a different culture. It's not just family. You look at it in the Hebrew. It is deeper than family. That we do not turn away people that are different than us. And so God is calling us to do that. Don't turn away those difficult. And then he tells us this. In 9b, he says this. He says, you do away with the yoke of oppression. And then he adds a little help to us. The pointing finger and malicious talk. Facebook is an electronic lynch mob. There's some days I read that and I grieve and I go, man, the church is so messed up, there's no help for it any place. Get rid of the malicious talk. I could start a riot in New Orleans when I said that God loves Republicans as much as he loves Democrats. I could start a riot maybe on the North Shore that God loves Democrats as much as he loves Republicans. Can I get an amen? There's no political party, no political persuasion that's going to deal with this because this is a kingdom issue. It's not a political issue. That doesn't mean you can't dig into it. We can't be that naive. And then it says this. Later on in the text, it goes and it says this. And if you spend yourself, verse 10, in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, spend yourself in the Hebrew, that's spend your soul. That's spend everything. At Castle Rock Community Church, we say church is simple. Love God with all you got and love people till you drop. Love God with all you got, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love people till you drop. We talk about living at that intersection, which is loving God and loving people. And that intersection of loving God and loving people is where we make disciples. Amen. That intersection of loving God and loving people is where peace is where justice is, it's where joy is, it's where compassion is, it's where holy. That's where we need to live, amen? Living at the intersection of loving God with all we got and loving people till we drop. And if we do that, if our Sunday changes our Monday, if we live out that calling, if we do that, and if we live out these deeds that God is calling us all to do, again, I'm not saying you're saved by those deeds, all right? I'm not saying that, but if it happens, what's the result? The result is amazing. Then it says this, then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. And then your righteousness will go before you. As we say at Castle Rock, you'll get your shine on. So let the world, so live your life so that you shine, so that people will praise the Lord in heaven. Amen? Get your shine on right there. It is right there. And then it says, the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. God will have your back. Maybe you're struggling today because your Sunday's not changing your Monday, and maybe God doesn't have your back. It's in the text. It's right here. And then it says this, and then you'll call and the Lord will answer. You'll cry for help and the Lord will say, here I am. Why? Based on what you do, based on your Sunday changing your Monday, God sees it, God then hears it, and then God responds to it. Can I get an amen? That's what he's saying here. And then do away with the yoke of oppression, get rid of the pointing finger and the malicious talk, spend yourselves on behalf, and then your light will break forth, will rise in the darkness, your night will become like noonday, the Lord will guide you always, he will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. Maybe you're looking for God, and you're dealing with it, and you're loving God, but you're not living at the intersection and letting that love for God spill out into the mercy that God calls us to give to people. And then the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs. Guide you always. Surrey's stupid. Can I get an amen? I don't know how many times she took me someplace I didn't want to go. I'm glad God doesn't work that way. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. And I love this part. You will rebuild the ancient ruins and raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repair of the broken walls. For us, repair a central city. So that's what God's called us to do. Doesn't make me any more important or any better than your pastor. Everybody hear me out? Amen? I'm not here to give you a guilt complex around you got to move to the city. I'm here to look at the text that says our Sunday's got to change our Monday. And then we'll break forth like the dawn. And if I had time, we'd go through even further. Because then it gives you this whole remix, all right? If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on this holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. Whoa. Wow. That tells me there's a connection between my relationship with God and how I live that out with people that brings me joy. There's no way around it. Because it's right here. And I will cause you to ride to the heights of the land and feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Does your Sunday change your Monday? Does your time sitting at God's feet change who you are? How you interact with your neighbor? How you interact with your coworkers? Does your Sunday change your Monday? Said, you know, we have day camp, and some days day camp is the greatest thing ever, and some days it's like, I can't wait till these kids get out of here. Amen, all right? You imagine 140 kids blowing around. And a couple years ago, we had a kid, and so, you know, we got this three strikes and you got to go home, and kids are always welcome back, and you know, it just gets hard some days. And there's this one kid that was there, and actually this was 2 years ago. I'm getting ready to go on my sabbatical. I hadn't been on a sabbatical for 25 years of ministry. It is Friday. I'm leaving that day at 5 o'clock for 3 months. I'm checked out, all right? I don't want to do nothing. And I'm sitting in there in my office, and outside of my office is where Miss Helen is. Miss Helen, she's the mama of Castle Rock. And all at once, this kid starts swearing at her. You don't swear at Miss Helen, all right? Little kid. Clarence is eight-ish. And I'm like, so I come out, and I'm like, no, come on, dude, you got to chill out, bro. Man, you can't tell me what to do. I said, yeah. You need to chill out, bro. You need to sit there. You got to quit swearing. What are you going to do? I said, you're already going home, Chief. You just need to chill out. So I go in, sit in my office, dreaming about 3 months off. And then I hear Miss Helen go, "Get back in here." And I'm like, "Crap, I got to chase him now." So I get out, blow out. We got this little breezeway that goes into our worship center. I'm a fat German. I ain't catching this kid. Amen. All right. He gets into the worship center. He runs into a table, runs into a couple chairs. Thank God. And then that slows him down a little bit. Then he goes out and Jeremy's a kid that's been with us. Jeremy's been with us since he is 5, at least. You know what? He's graduated college. He's teaching at the high school he used to go to. He's one of the co-leaders of our mission outreach team. God's good. Amen. God is amazing. So it runs into Jeremy. I'm like, yes. I'm going back into my office because I'm chilling. And Jeremy's like, "We're going to the zoo, Pastor. You got to take care of him." I'm like, "Oh, crap." So I grab him and he starts going off. Now I know why I worked in a group home. I worked in a locked psych ward. Now I know why I did all that stuff before I became a pastor. He starts going off. He's trying to headbutt me. He's trying to bite me, trying to scratch me. I'm glad I knew all those holes and stuff. We get into the conference room trying to have him chill. He's like, "You can't handle me, bro." And I'm like sitting here going, "Dude, I'm sitting on you." So then they looked and called up, you know, we're partnership with Crisis Response. There was another, this kid actually was brought by somebody who was a part of that ministry. It's a great ministry, amen. Thank you for your partnership with them. So she goes and gets the mom. The mom comes into the conference room, and you see that look, y'all. She comes in beat, head down. She starts crying. And I'm like, "Baby, it's okay. Mom, it's okay," because I never met her till that day. "Mom, it's okay. My kids don't listen to me all the time. It's all right." So he finally calms down, and the Holy Spirit's going, "John, take him into your office." On the inside, I'm like, "He just trashed out the conference room, God. I've only got 2.5 hours. God's like, "Take him in." We go into my office. Got a picture of my office on the wall. And I say, "Clarence, you see that kid right there? His name's Redhead. He's dead. He started following God, but he wouldn't listen. He got killed. You see that little? You see that guy right there? That's baby James. He said, I got him on video saying he wanted to grow up to be a band teacher, but you know what? He's doing 25 years for dealing drugs. But I said, you know what? Clarence, you see this? That's Guppy. He graduated from Iowa State, of all places. You see that? That's Derek. Derek, married, got a couple kids, working down at the Hilton, doing things right. And I looked at Clarence and I said, Clarence, 10, 15 years from now, I want to have your picture on my wall. And I want to tell kids in this neighborhood, be like Clarence. And I wish I could tell you it's all worked out great and fine. Clarence is still struggling. But we're not giving up on him, amen? Who's the Clarence in your life? Who is God calling you to not give up on, amen? Who's the Clarence in your life that God's saying, don't give in to? Who's the Clarence in your life that God's saying, I loved you. You're made in my image. I loved you. You accepted me and I made you this new creation. You're my work of art. You're my poinea. And I've created you to do great things. But your Sunday's got to change your Monday. What do you do with the food in your pantry? What do you do with the clothes in your closet? What do you do with your spare bedroom? What do you do with that difficult people in your family and in your life? Do you give up on them? If your Sunday changes your Monday, then you will break forth like the dawn. You'll cry out to the Lord and he'll say, here I am. And the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And then you will be called repairer of the broken streets. Repairer of Covington. Repairer of Mandeville, repairer of Madisonville, repairer of Franklinton, repairer maybe of your own family, if your Sunday changes your Monday. Who is the Clarence in your life? Who is God calling you to pour your life into today? Today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, God, that you have prepared this time for us. I thank you, Lord, that you understood this, Lord, because you did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, dear Jesus, but you emptied yourself. You became flesh and blood and you moved into Covington. You became flesh and blood and moved into Madisonville and Mandeville. You became flesh and blood and moved into Central City, New Orleans. You became flesh and blood and moved into Africa and moved into Haiti and moved into Chile and moved into all the places of this world to bring your salvation. And Lord, you call us that if we love you, our Sunday will change our Monday. Our time with you will change how we love, how we care for, how we interact with people. You didn't just give us stuff to give us stuff. You gave us stuff so that we would give it away. You gave us time, not to give us time, but you gave us time to share our lives with people all around us. So Lord, show us who that Clarence is in our life. That one person that you're saying, I don't want you to give up on. I don't want you to give into. That one person. May our Sunday change our Monday. Because that's why you came, to save us, that we would go and share your love, your salvation, your peace, share all that we have with those around us. May our Sunday change our Monday.